Hi, it's Saket Brahman from the OrthoClips podcast series, and today we are talking about the Vanco trial. What have we learned? And on the podcast, I have Dr. Joseph Thomas Patterson. He's Assistant Professor of Clinical Orthopedic Surgery at the Keck School of Medicine, University of Southern California. Dr. Patterson, thanks for making the time to come on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
Excellent. So so let's get into it. Your paper, which is part of the larger trial and kind of series of papers on the Vanco trial. Can you tell us a little bit more about it? This was in the this was published in the January Journal of Orthopedic Trauma, entitled "The Vanco Trial Findings Are Generalizable to a North American Trauma Registry." So maybe you could start maybe just a little bit for the listeners. What was the Vanco trial in general, and how did you got interested and involved in this particular part of that study?
Absolutely, yeah. So the Vanco study was a research project. The PI was Robert O'Toole at University of Maryland, and through the METRIC group, and this was a multi-center trial that enrolled in 980 patients between 2015 and 2017, looking at the effect of intra-wound vancomycin powder on deep infections in patients who had high-risk tibial plateau and pilon fractures. So it was a randomized trial. The control was standard care. There was no placebo and was not blinded. And the outcome was deep infection using the modified CDC criteria at 182 days rather than 90 days. And this was different than what we now use, like the fracture-related infection definition, because the trial design precedes the FRI consensus definition that came out in 2018. In their primary analysis, they found that intra-wound vancomycin powder of 1 gram reduced the risk of a deep surgical site infection by an absolute risk difference of 3.4%. Although that wasn't a statistically significant finding, the p-value was 0.06. When they looked at just gram-positive infections, they found there was a significant effect of 3.7%, or which is really like a 50% relative risk reduction, which in high-risk fracture surgery, that's a big deal. We're talking about plateau fractures that either needed an X-fix, had compartment syndrome, or an open injury, so ones that are already at risk for infection. And an over 3% risk reduction is clinically really meaningful to me as an orthopedic trauma surgeon. I was not one of the original investigators in the Vanco study. I was invited to participate through a grant from AO Trauma North America to do a secondary analysis of the trial, of which there have been a few, and I'm happy to talk about some of those.
Yeah, why don't you briefly mention what some of those studies were?
Yeah. You know, the primary outcome in this study, there is two findings that kind of straddled our usual p-value of 0.05. And if you're coming at it from the traditional, what we call frequentist perspective, you draw a hard line at, you know, a certain power analysis. One of the secondary analyses that I think is really interesting was Nathan O'Hara's Bayesian secondary analysis. So Bayes was an 18th century minister and a statistician, and his theorem about describing the probability of an event really aligns better with how we think as clinicians about incorporating new data into what we already know. So it's really based on prior knowledge of conditions that might be related to the event you're looking for. So when you're thinking about putting vancomycin powder in a wound, if you take this trial in and of itself, you're not really considering any prior knowledge. But if you consider some of the studies that led into it, the retrospective series that suggested there might be an effect, you know, some of the pilot data that justified using this off-label vancomycin powder under an FDA exemptional device, investigational drug exemption. That Bayesian analysis is really now how some of the larger trials, including the Pfizer vaccine trials for the COVID-19 vaccine, that's the basis of how we analyze some of these larger studies. And rather than looking at just, okay, what's the effect size and did it reach that? Or what's the probability of a given effect size? You know, if I'm thinking about how effective topical vancomycin is, What's the probability that it reduces infection rate by like 20% or 30% or 50%? And we can give numbers with a Bayesian analysis that describe how confident we are in that magnitude of effect size. And so Nathan and friends reanalyzed the data in the patients who had at least 140 days of follow-up. And they found there's like a 99% chance that intra-aortic vancomycin powder reduces gram-positive infections, and an 80% chance that the magnitude of this risk reduction is greater than 35%. And it's unlikely that it really has any effect on gram-negative infections, which kind of gets into the follow-up trial of TOBRA. But that's another matter. I'm really interested in the generalizability of these studies, and I'm happy to go into that too.
Yeah, so what do you mean by, generalizability? I'm assuming you mean, well, I read the paper, but maybe just explain to the listeners who may not have read, what do you mean by that? It was a large study, right? So I mean, a lot of centers were included, both large level one trauma centers and, satellite centers across North America, across the United States, I should say. But so what do you mean by what exactly you were looking for here?
Yeah, this is a high quality trial. You've got 36 sites all over the US. You'd think that, well, I can apply this in my practice. It's clearly effective, at least for gram-positive infections. But in the world of clinical trials and research, we exclude a lot of patients. And there's good reasons for that. We want to make sure that we have follow-up so that we have confidence in our estimates of how effective a treatment is. And patients that might be less likely to follow up, it causes problems for our analyses. We need more patients. We need more funding for more patients. The studies take longer. And so there are exclusions kind of baked into almost every single clinical trial for not including patients who might have, quote, problems with follow-up or other reasons, or in the impression of the method center, they didn't think they were going to be a good patient. And they're really euphemisms for some social disparities like housing insecurity, psychiatric disease, and it's frankly explicit and implicit bias on the part of the coordinators and the site PIs and the overall trial leadership. And the idea we're trying to get good data, but we exclude some people. And that's a problem because a lot of those exclusion criteria, they're kind of implicit. Describe orthopedic trauma patients. And so for this particular study, they describe the population to which the treatment is probably going to be rendered. I was curious if we could try to estimate how intra-aortic vancomycin powder would function in patients who would have been eligible for the trial based on their injuries and their treatments. And we came up with a way to do that. It's not original, but it's based on some work by Tipton and others, where we tried to resample patients who would have been eligible for the Vanco trial but didn't participate. And we define that population by using a different time period, contiguous with but not overlapping with the Vanco study starting in 2017. And we looked at patients from the American College of Surgeons Trauma Quality Programs data. So this is prospective registry data from 875 level one through three trauma centers in the US and Canada. And we used the diagnosis and procedure codes that would define the same patients who would have participated in Vanco, those high energy tibial plateau and pilon fractures. And we looked at features of those patients versus these patients who were in the Vanco trial. And for each patient in the trauma quality data, the patients who weren't in the trial, we developed a probability score of whether they would participate or not. And then we used that score to reweight the sample of patients who are not in the trial by inverse probability of participation weighting, such that the sample of patients who didn't participate now matched the sample of patients who did participate by baseline features, by what part of their body was injured, age, sex, all these table one demographic and injury characteristics. And within that reweighted sample, we then estimated the treatment effect of vancomycin on having a deep infection or having a gram-positive deep infection. And we found that without even doing the reweighting, as expected, the sample of North American trauma center patients was pretty generalizable to the Vanco study, or the Vanco study would be generalizable to those patients, I should say, using a generalizability index. After we reweighted them, we found that vancomycin was at least as effective and perhaps even more effective in the patients who didn't participate in the study. And that's because they differ by some of these baseline factors that may be risk factors for infection, may influence the mechanisms of intralumin vancomycin. And while there's no statistical difference, it supports the use of vancomycin in routine practice. Because remember, this is just an investigational off-label indication for vancomycin.
Right. And, as you stated, a lot of centers use this in the trial, but a lot of people are using this in their practice. And I think people reading the journal and seeing this article hopefully can take that away that, it seems to be safe to use. It's probably effective in that patient population. And, like you said, even more generalizable. So I think I recall first hearing about this from a colleague, actually at an OTA meeting, that the spine surgeons were doing it, and the next thing you know, the orthopedic trauma surgeons were doing it. And the next thing I found out, the CT surgeons were doing it, and we were in a consortium considering doing a trial with antibiotic plate coating. And it could never really get off the ground. And with the sort of Venco powder sort of being used by surgeons already at that point. So that's kind of was my perspective on how Venco ended up being born. We were initially trying to do a study with like antibiotic coated plates, and it just ended up sort of, well, we're already using Venco. Let's just go with that. Now, what do you see are the future directions? I mean, what's been the reception to the to your particular paper, and where do you see us heading now? You already hinted at Tobra.
Yeah, I think our paper is a little hard to explain the underlying mathematics in a way that's accessible. I personally struggled with that, and hopefully I've conveyed that in a way that's intelligible. The idea is showing that, this seems like this is safe. It seems like it's going to be effective in at least the North American population. Some of the response to the Venco trial in general has also been the pushback that is been vocalized in spine and CT surgery and even arthroplasty that if we're dumping vancomycin in these wounds, are we not generating vancomycin resistance? And so that, there was another secondary analysis of the Venco trial led by Dr. Manjari Joshi, who's the ID specialist, infectious disease doctor, the main one for the study, the original study. And so they looked at whether vancomycin was associated with methicillin resistance and or the development of greater incidence of coagulase negative staph or gram negative rod infections or even the emergence of vancomycin resistant enterococcus. And contrary to those concerns, they found, and at least in the small 74 patients who had a deep infection had culture data, that the MRSA incidence was lower in the Vanco treatment group than in the control standard care group. So Vanco didn't select for MRSA. The incidence of coagulase negative staph and gram negative rod infections were similar in both groups. There was no difference in the susceptibilities between the groups in terms of vancomycin resistant enterococcus. And there was no emergence of gram negative rod infections. By killing off the gram positive, you weren't selecting for gram negative rod infections. Well, there's power concerns with that study, but it's a little bit reassuring. I find this more reassuring, and it was also how they were able to get FDA approval for the study, is that vancomycin is given to dialysis patients, three times a week in most cases for years at a time. And the incidence of vancomycin resistance, maybe three reported patients in the literature, three case reports over decades of hemodialysis. I think in the future, we want to try to address the gram negative population. And I think you and I are both enrolling patients in the TOBRA study, hoping to determine whether putting intra-wound tobramycin in addition to vancomycin, kind of being considered standard care now, does that incrementally reduce the overall infection rate for deep infections? And does it specifically reduce the gram?
Yeah, so we are actually enrolling in Tobra right now, as you said. So we'll see. Hopefully we'll come back in a few years and have some results from the Tobra trial. And it's in a lot of ways similar to Vanco. Some things have been made a little bit easier, I think, that we learned from the Vanco trial. Hopefully that'll be able to allow us to enroll patients a little faster. And we'll see. But we're happy to be a part of the METRA consortium as well. Well, I mean, I think that about covers it. Again, I think it's a really important study. I think you guys made a nice contribution, and the listeners should know about it. So I'm glad we talked about it today. Unless you had anything else to add, I think that kind of wraps it up. I really appreciate your time. Again, we've been talking about the Vanco trial, what did we learn, and most specifically, the paper in the January issue of Journal Orthopedic Trauma. The Vanco trial findings are generalizable to a North American trauma registry, with Dr. Joseph Patterson from Keck School of Medicine, USC. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.